So today we're going to be doing normally I wouldn't give like a whole separate shiur on a day like this because there's no morning seder, but there are just enough topics that I want to get to that I thought it would be kedai to have a shiur today so that we could have the topic of Geirus L'Shem Nisuin tomorrow and then Ger Katan on Thursday, and that will probably be the last full shiur of the summer, especially since Rav Shemer of Daniel Stein will be here on Friday. We can talk more about that, you know, how amazing he is, for those who don't know him, later. But okay, so should we also talk a little bit about Rabbi Reisman of Zavakon? Do you guys know about them? Do you guys not have so much? So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that at the end also. But let's learn a little bit first. Gotta learn some Torah also. So it seems clear from the Gemara, you know, in terms of today we're talking about the order of Mila and Tevila. So it seems clear from the Gemara what the order is. The Tevila happens after the Mila, because it says, Kibel Malinoso Miyad, right? And then, Nisrape Matmilinoso Miyad. That's Mem Zayinam Beis, after it goes through how we try to discourage him, and we tell, so we say, if he says, I'm willing to become a ger anyway, so we give him Mila right away. And then we wait for the Mila to heal, and when after the Mila heals, well, first the Gemara goes through, what if there are tzitzin hamakvinus, Mila shein makvinus, whatever, so we may have to clean up the bris a little bit, but then we wait for him to heal, and when we wait for him to heal, so then we're matbil him. So give him a bris, and then have a meal before the two. So the Ramban asks a simple question. He says, if kibel tovlan oso miyad, because of shui mitzvah mashinan, why would we do the Mila first? By definition, Mila is going to require a waiting period, waiting for him to heal. Why not just tovel him first, and then you won't have to have a waiting period? I mean, the whole point is miyad, shriya mitzvah mashinon. We don't want to delay. And as soon as he says, I'm in, and we say, we're willing to accept you, we want to do it pronto. We want to have it done as soon as possible, because it's a mitzvah that we want to have done. So the best way to do the mitzvah, l'chara, would be the quickest way to do the mitzvah. And if you do the tevila first, then you could do the mila, and then it'll be done. Then as he's recuperating from the mila, he'll already be Jewish. So why build into the system where you're going to do a mila first, and then you're going to have to wait a week till he heals, or however long it takes, and only then be able to do the tevila? This is the kasha of the Ramban. So the Ramban suggests that part of the process of schlepping him along and seeing that he's authentic is by telling him do the bris mila first. Because he says, okay, I want to be Jewish. We're like, okay, great. So we tell him, so go swimming. He'll be like, oh, this is great. I love being Jewish, right? But if you say, okay, and then you take out the scissors, he'll be like, well, wait a second. Maybe not so fast. So we're trying to discourage him before he gets the process going, says the Ramban. However, fundamentally, there's no reason that it has to be done in that order, according to the Ramban. Meaning it's just that we do that as part of the discouragement, but there's nothing fundamental about the Geirus that would suggest that Mila has to be done first. Then the Ramban quotes another Deya that says that no, maybe it has to be Dafka Mila Kodim Tevila. Now, what would be the svara that Dafka has to be Mila Kodim Tevila? So the Rashba elaborates on this, and he suggests because the real Geirus is the Tevila. The Mila is just because an Arel can't become Jewish. And so you have to remove any impediment, hasaras hamoneya, you remove any impediment to his Judaism before you then go and make him Jewish. So we take away the impediment, which is the arla, and then we make him Jewish. L'chora, the best raya to the idea that the tevila is the real geirus is, of course, women, right? Women don't have a mila, women have tevila, so you see that tevila is the real geirus. And he brings another raya from Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says that the primary act of geirus is the tevila. There is a mitzvah of tevilas kelim, and the Yerushalmi calls the tevilas kelim a geirus on the kelim, that his kelim have to become Jewish. So the impression you get from the Yerushalmi is that if the way the Yerushalmi understands tevilas kelim, when do you do tevilas kelim? When you purchase a kli from a non-Jew. So if you're purchasing a kli from a non-Jew, you have to bring it to the mikvah, whether it was ever used or not. Even if it was never used, so there's nothing non-kosher about it. If it was ever used for non-kosher, then you have to do agala also. You have to kasher it also. People very often, when they ask shaylos, confuse tevila for kashering. They'll say, I didn't kasher my kli yet, can I use it? No, if it's treif, absolutely not. Well, it happens to be the answer is no on both of them. But why do you need a kashrut? What happened to it? Did you use it for basar b'chalav? Did your housekeeper cook pork in your kitchen? Like, what happened? So they're all, no, in the mikveh, kashering in the mikveh. There is no kashering in the mikveh. You can't kasher a kli in the mikveh unless the mikveh is boiling. So it's not, it's a kli rishon that's boiling. So that mikveh can't be a kli. So there's no kashering in a mikveh. That's tevilas kelim and agalas kelim are different things. When the Yerushalmi describes the mitzvah of tevilas kelim, the Yerushalmi says that you have to be matbil because it came out from tumas hagoy v'nichnesu l'kedushas Yisrael. So it describes that new kelim brought from a non-Jew go through a sort of geirus process where they convert to Judaism also. And that's another indication that tevila is the definition of geirus. Just agav on the issue of tevilas kelim, the Arzurua explains that medama osa leger shenichnas lekedusha al yedei tevila. The Arzurua explains that Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi is very clearly trying to compare kelim to an actual ger that is nichnas lekedusha al yedei tevila. So again, the Arzurua explicitly gives you that impression that it happens through the tevila. The tevila's kelim is like gerus, and whenever something enters kedushas Yisrael, it has to do so by entering into the mikveh. Entering the mikveh always represents a new beginning and an added level of Kedusha. And the Rishonim used that explanation to understand many of the intricate dinim of Tevilas Kelim. That Yerushalmi, for example, will help explain the Havamina that the Gemara has in Maseches Avodah Zarah, that Tevilas Kelim is required for all Kelim, not just for Klei Suda. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, has a Havamina till it darshens otherwise, that Tevilas Kelim is for any Kli that you buy. You know what a Kli is? A chair is a Kli, a table is a Kli, your computer is a Kli. So the Gemara has a Havamina that when you buy your buy your computer from a Nakli, that if Mr. Dell or whatever, no one uses Dell, whatever, whoever owns Apple now, whatever, it's a publicly traded company. But if you buy something from a Nachri, then you have to double that in the mikveh as well. What's the Havamina? You have to double that in the mikveh. L'chora, it's all about Hachanas Achila or whatever. No, the Havamina is that it's about Nichnas L'Kedushas Yisrael, that it's about the Kli entering into Kedushas Yisrael.
Can we say that a kli is a proof? If a kli also can't have a bris milah,
right, it can't have a bris milah, but the fact that the Arzurua uses that, I mean, the Arzurua understands that Yerushalmi to be saying that's exactly what the Arzurua said, that the tevila is just like tevilas geirus, in that it brings about kedusha. Meaning, tevilas geirus is what brings kedusha to Israel, and not, apparently, the milah. That's why some of the Achronim raise a question, by the way, whether a ger needs to tovel all of his kelim when he converts. Right, this is something that we deal with every ger. They've been keeping kosher for a year or two, sometimes longer, already by the time they convert. But all their kelim before they went to the mikveh were owned by a non-Jew, namely themselves. And now all their kelim are owned by a Jew, namely themselves. So now do they need to go grab all their kelim and bring them to the mikveh? So the poskim are somewhat divided on that issue, mostly because we don't have any real explicit statement that requires a ger to tovel all the kelim that he owned previously anywhere in Rishonim. It doesn't really say anything. So in the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, he quotes the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel, of course, was the Sakach of a Rebbe, the son of the Avni Nezer, and the Shem Yishmuel says in the name of his father, in the name of the Avni Nezer, that when a person converts, the tevila of the ger himself counts for the kelim. Very difficult statement. What does that mean exactly? His tevila is ola for the kelim as well, and therefore the kelim don't require tevila, says the Avni Nezer, or as reported by the Shem Yishmuel. Now in the Sefer Geirus Kehilchasa, in Parches, footnote Yudches, he quotes the Tshuvas Ateres Moshe, I'm not sure who that is, but that the Tshuvas Ateres Moshe paskins that a ger doesn't have to tovel his kelim because there hasn't been a transfer of possession directly from a non-Jew to a Jew. Meaning the gzeirah of the din, whether it's daraisa, drabban, it's a whole discussion, but the din of tevilas kelim is made specifically when there's a purchase, when there's a transaction, when it goes from one person's possession to another. It's not just that when it goes from being owned by a non-Jew to being owned by a Jew. It's when it's being owned by this non-Jew to being owned by that Jew. But if it's the same person and there was no transfer, there was no kinyan, there was no, meaning he's the owner the whole time. There was never a moment where like it became hefker or anything, right? He was the owner the whole time. He doesn't lose his bailus on things. We don't say that if a guy is in the mikveh and you can quickly be zocha in his house, you know, be no gadar parts on his house, so then you'll become the owner of his house. His stuff doesn't all become hefker. He maintains ownership in dinim amenus of all of his stuff. So there's never a transfer of ownership. And if there's never a transfer of ownership, you're missing the criteria that you need in order for to be mechayiv to be l'skelim. So, but he suggests maybe one can understand that the way it works is that everything becomes hefker, and the ger subsequently reacquires all of his possessions. Problem is that there seems to be very little raya that something would become hefker at that point, nor is there much of a raya that you need a transaction in order to make tefillas kelim. Meaning if you have kelim from a nachri, so then it requires tefillas kelim. L'chora, it shouldn't matter whether he's the nachri or somebody else is the nachri, right? L'chora, it wouldn't make a difference. So the Rav Shturmbach and Chuvas van Hagos, Chelek Aleph Siman Taf Mem Tes, and Rav Vazner and Shevet HaLevi Chelek Dalas Siman Tzadi Beis both say that a ger has to tovel his kelim before he uses them, and they point out that there's no requirement for a sale, a kinyan, to take place in order for tefillas kelim to be chal. You know, the very source in the Torah for tefillas kelim is kelim that were taken as spoils in war. No one transacted it to us, although you could argue, yeah, but it went from ownership of one person to ownership of another person. Rav Shturmbach does add, though, that, you know, the Avnei Nezer was big enough that in deference to the Avnei Nezer, we shouldn't say a bracha on the Tevilas Kelim, because if the Avnei Nezer said that it doesn't require Tevila at all, it's very hard for us to say that it's not at least the Suffolk brachas. So do the Tevilas Kelim, but do so without a bracha. I know in our Beis Din, Rav Shechter is the posik for our Beis Din, and Rav Shechter says the same. To do the tevila, that they do have to tovel all their kelim, but they do so without a bracha. So very often, it's a very busy day, right? Meaning the ger converts, and then the first thing they got to do is they got to empty out their whole kitchen and go be tovel all of their kelim that day. It's like when a couple gets married and they're busy the whole sheva brachas at the keli mikvah. So a person becomes a ger; they're busy the whole day or the next day or two at the keli mikvah. Anyway, so back to our discussion. So again, what did we say? The basic kasha was why not just do the tevila first, then do the mila? So the Rabban says, yeah, I guess you could. It's just that we'd like to scare him a little bit, so we do the mila first, right? And then the Rabban had another day. No, it's really important that the mila comes first. And why is it important? So the Rashba suggested that the reason it's important is because the mila is not the etzem hagevus. The mila is just hasara sa'orla, and once you remove the arla, then you're ready to do the gevus. And the raya is that the tevila is the real gerus, is that you have women only do tevila, they don't do mila, and that the Yerushalmi seems to say that tevilas kelim is an act of gerus, and it's patterned after gerus. So if that's the case, you see that gerus is defined by tevila. So according to the Rashba, the reason the mila has to precede the tevila is because the tevila has to be the makkah bepatish on the gerus. The tevila has to be the final stage of the gerus, because that's the gerus. And you can't add, that's the definition of gerus. The Ritva says, a little differently though, the Ritva says, no, you can't do tevila first because he's still in Orel, and that's like tovel v'sheretz biyado. That's like tovel v'sheretz biyado. You can't go to the mikvah holding a sheretz, because you go to the mikvah holding a sheretz, you're still going to be tamei when you come out of the mikvah. So you can't be tovel v'sheretz biyado, which is a little bit of a funny mashal, because tovel v'sheretz biyado is that you go to the mikvah to salve your tumah. So if you're hanging on to your tumah while you're in the mikvah, it's not going to work, right? Over here, you go to the mikvah for gerus, your arla is not solved by going to the mikvah. Your arla is going to be solved how? By mila. So why is it tovel v'sheretz biyado? I mean, the arla is not tuma in the conventional sense. It's not something that a mikvah would normally solve, so it's a little bit of a strange mashal. Arla is not really tuma. And he says, similarly, he says about tefillas kelim, the Ritva and Avodah Zarah is explained by the Avnei Nezer in Yardeh Sim Kuv Zayin, that he believes that the tuma comes from the fact that it's destined to be used for non-kosher. That by Tevilas Kelim, the reason you need Tevilas Kelim is because it's Tumah. And what does it mean it's Tumah? Because the fact that this Kli is owned by a non-Jew means that it's destined to be used for non-kosher, and therefore it's Ki'ilu, it's holding on to Tumah. Pirush mishum desofel nishtamish ba'iser v'yatzu l'kadosh hitzrich makasuf tevila af b'chadosh. That's why even if it's brand new, you need tevila. That's why the Ritva insists on kashering before toveling, because when it still has trefa blios, it's ketovel v'sheretz biyado. Again, similar idea, right? Over here, but meaning when it comes to kashering and toveling, those are two totally different things, right? You kasher to remove blios, you tovel to because there's a din, right? When you bring something into kedushas shal, you tovel. Toveling doesn't solve the blios. What solves the blios? Hagala is going to solve the blios. And yet the Ritva calls toveling a kli that still has blios of Isser in it, ketovel v'sheretz biyado, as if you're being tovel v'sheretz biyado. Very similar to how he says over here, that when it comes to being tovel, a ger who doesn't yet have a mila, that it's ketovel v'sheretz biyado. The implication of that Ritva, by the way, is that the inyan of Tevilas Kelim is to be mechazek the inyan of Machalos Asuros. But okay, that's a different discussion for a different time. So now, there is a concept in halacha that Orla, in fact, is a type of tumah in the Gemara in Perek Ha'Orel in Yevamos. But the pashtus is that even if it is a type of tumah and you can call Orla tumah, it has nothing to do with tevila. It's not a type of tumah that lends itself to tevila. So I guess what our question is over here: what's the Ritva really talking about? I mean, we see that he's consistent. He says this by tevilas kelim. He says it over here. That's called tovel v'sheretz biyado. So again, just to chazer, the Ramban said mila tevila, whichever one you do first is going to work anyway. Then the Ramban said maybe not. Maybe you got to do mila dafka first. Why do you have to do mila dafka first? So the Rashba said you have to do mila first dafka because the tevila has to be the makabe patish. It has to be the thing that completes the gerus, because tevila is real gerus. So you can't have a person not ready for the gerus when the gerus comes. And to be ready for the gerus, you need to do the mila first. But then the Ritva said, no, the reason you need to do the mila first is because if you do the tevila without having done the mila, it's ketovel v'sheretz biyado. So he pointed out, tovel v'sheretz biyado is the same lashon the Ritva uses when he describes being tovel a keli that still has blios in it of non-kosher. But what's pshat over here? Tovel v'sheretz biyado is a weird mushel, because when you tovel v'sheretz biyado, although you're still tamei, and the mikvah is supposed to address your tumah, it's supposed to solve your tumah, and you're still hanging on to that tumah that's supposed to be solved by the mikvah. But over here, the orla that a person has is not solved by the mikvah. The blios in the treif kli are not solved by the mikvah. So why is that called tovel v'sheretz biyado? So maybe it's important to understand a little bit of what tovel v'sheretz biyado means in order to understand where the Ritva might be coming from. There is a chakira about tovel v'sheretz biyado. How does it work? Let's take that case of tovel v'sheretz biyado, that you were actually tovel v'sheretz biyado. Is it that you became tahar, the mikvah worked, you became tahar, and then immediately you pop out of the mikvah and you're holding a sheretz, so you become tamei again? It's like you're tamei, right? But because you're holding the sheretz, you're tamei again. Immediately you become tamei. Or is it that the mikvah never worked its magic in the first place? Meaning the mikvah was never able to be mitahir you in the first place, because so long as you're holding on to the sheretz, it can't be mitahir you. That it takes away the mikvah's capacity to be mitahir. Nafgamina would be, what if you're dealing with a different type of tumah, like a person who has an orla, where the mikvah is not the mitahir, the mila would be the mitahir. So if you hold like the first tzad, the mikvah is megayir me, and now I have a tumas harelus. Okay, so the mikvah was mitar me, but now I have a tumas arelus. How do I get rid of that tumas arelus? Get a mila, and that will solve that tumah. Meaning, as long as you're dealing with a type of tumah that is not addressed by a mikvah anyway, so if the mikvah works when I'm holding on to a tumah, it's just that, but your vayter become tamei, okay, so the mikvah works, I vayter become tamei because I still have an orla, and then I'll solve that by doing what you do to solve that, which is a mila. Or I'll tovel a kli, and the mikvah will work, it still has a blios of non-kosher, okay, but you'll solve that by doing what you do to solve that, you'll do hagala. But if you say that you hold tovel v'sheretz biyado is chisaron betzem ha-tevila, that as long as you're still attached to something tamei, then there is no tevila. The tevila doesn't work to begin with. so then this tefillah shouldn't work either, because you're still attached to something that's tameh. So again, if it's that the tefillah does work, it's just that you're vayter becoming tameh, so the mikveh did its job, and I have an external problem that's solved by something other than a mikveh. By a typical tovah b'sharetz b'yado, the problem that's created by his ongoing holding on the sharetz can only be solved by going back to the mikvah. But by the tumah of arla, the problem of arelus can be solved by getting a milah. By the tumah of macholos asuros, the problem can be solved by doing hagala. But if you hold that tovah b'sharetz b'yado is chesaron b'atzem ha'tefillah, then that tefillah simply can't be chal b'shas tumah. So it makes sense that an arl can't be helped by the mikvah, and the gir would be no good. So the Ritva seems to be assuming, like the second sad of this chakira, that the tefillah pasha doesn't work when it's told the sharis b'yado, that there can't be a tefillah when you're still connected to tumah. Question?
How do we have a chal if you think that if you're holding on to a bog and you go into the mikvah, then like, you would get like tar for a second? If a woman goes into the mikvah with
meaning you're saying, how do you avoid the chatzitza issue? Yeah. So there are ways to avoid chatzitza issue. Meaning, if first of all, midah oraisa, only a rubo umakbid is a chatzitza on a daraisa level. So if we're talking purely on a daraisa level, if that bug does not cover the majority of her body, which would be one monster bug, right, so then she's tahora anyway on a daraisa level. Second of all, even on a drabbanan level, let's say when you're doing tefillas kelim, you ever look at the bottom of the kelim mikvah, like peek in and see what's on the bottom? What's on the bottom of every kelim mikvah? A lot of kelim. People drop their kelim, so there are a lot of kelim on the bottom of the kelim mikvah. So let's say you're nervous about dropping something. Your mother said, "I want you to tovel this, but do not drop it," right? So yeah, you're afraid to let go of it. So they have those nice baskets sometimes. Okay, but let's say the basket has holes in it and it's a very tiny kli, and you don't want, right, the basket has to have holes in it. It doesn't work otherwise, right? But it's a very tiny kli. So there are poskim discuss in the Nosi Kelim and Shulchan Aruch that if you put one hand in the mikvah, hold the kli in this hand, stick this hand in the mikvah, and transfer it over to the other hand, even though you're holding on to it the whole time, it will work, because the hand that's in the mikvah was already wet from the mikvah water by the time it held on to the kli. So maybe you do the same thing with the sharetz. So you do have water in every inch, every centimeter of your hand. It's just that you're hanging on to a little bug as well. So you have to get around the chatzitz issue, but assuming that you get around the chatzitz issue in one of those two ways. Another question? Okay, so there's a Mishnah of Avodah Zarah that you need to, like we said, that you need to kasher things before doing tefillah. And it's a machlokas rishonim if it works if you do the opposite and are tovel before kashering. So the Rashbam's shita is that it doesn't work because of tovel v'sharetz v'yado, which is the shita that we saw of the Ritva, that the shreifus and the patzel doesn't work. Tosos disagrees, and the Ran disagrees also, and say that there's no concept of tov v'sharetz biyado when it comes to tevilas kelim. So Shulchan Aruch in Yardeas and Kuf Chaf Aleph Sif Beis says, based on Tosos, based on the Ran, that when you buy a used pot from a non-Jew, ideally first kasher it and then tovel it, but if you first tovel it and then kasher it, it still works, it's fine. So, however, he also quotes Rashbam, they need to retovel the kli because the first tefillah is invalid since the kli wasn't kosher and still being tovel sharetz biyado. So it's a little bit of a stira in Shulchan Aruch, meaning not a stira in Shulchan Aruch, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. He quotes first the shita of Tosfos and the Ran, and then he quotes the shita of the Ritva and the Rashbam, right, as a yesh omen. What's the rule in general when he quotes first a shita of the, you know, one shita, and then he quotes a second shita as a yesh omen? So the general rule is when Shulchan Aruch says a halacha and then says v'yesh omrin, he's passing like the stam, like the first din. So over here l'chora he's paskening that you don't need to tovel the kli again, right? That it's he's passing like the Ran and the Bali Atosos, that you don't need to tovel the kli again, which would mean to say that he doesn't buy the whole tovel v'sharetz biyado thing. He doesn't think that's true. Why not? Probably because he holds tovel v'sharetz biyado like the other side of the chakira. That tovel v'sharetz biyado means that the tevila does work. It just vayter makes you tamei. So if that's the case, then when it comes to tevilas ger who's an orel, or when it comes to tevilas kelim where there's treif of blios in it, it's no problem because you could do the tevila and then later you'll address the other problem, the tumah that it's holding on to. Nevertheless, the shach and sivkat and hay over there in simkuf chaval says you should tovel the kli again, but without a bracha. meaning that we should be machmir, might as well be machmir for the Yesh Omrim and Shulchan Aruch and Tovel again without a bracha. But again, that same machlokas, the same machlokas you have about doing tevila before Haggadah might be totally in the same machlokas you have over here about doing tevila before Mila. It could be that it's the same issue. And what's the issue? This chakira about Tovel v'sheretz biyado. How does one understand the concept of Tovel v'sheretz biyado? So it could be that it's the same machlokas. Now, the Shach in Sivkat and Dalit, in Simukov Chavalv over there in Hilchos Hagalos Kalim, the Shach quotes the idea that Havelei Ketovel v'sheretz biyado. And then he quotes an interesting thing. He quotes a Levush who says that if you buy something that's only been used for cold, let's say you buy something that's never been used, a kli, that's only been used for cold, a drinking glass or something like that, you only have to do tevila, you don't have to do hagala. Why don't you have to do hagala? Cold is not balea, right? Cold is never balea. I shouldn't use the example of a glass, because it could be glass is not balea either, especially Sfarnim hold glass is not balea. So let's say metal, right? Where everyone holds metal would normally be balea, but if it's cold is not balea. Okay, so what happens? I buy a cereal bowl. Okay, a metal cereal bowl. I don't know how many cereal bowls are metal, but let's say I buy a metal cereal bowl. So a cereal bowl you're only going to use with, or a cereal spoon, right? More likely to be metal, right? So I'm only going to use it with cereal and milk, which is always cold, right? So there's not going to be any blios. So I don't have to do agala because there are no blios in it, right? Or not there are no blios in it. No blios are going to come out of it. I don't care what it's been used for in the past. I only plan on using it for cold. So even if it's been used for treif before, it was used for pig soup. I don't know if that's a thing, but it was used for something that was treif before. So it's not a problem because it's whatever I'm using it for is cold. So whatever blios are in there are not going to come out. Don't take any of this halacha lemaisa. It happens to be that we're machmir to kasher such things. But let's say at least meyikra didn't have. Shouldn't require hagala. So the Levush says you buy something only used for cold. You only have to do tefila, not hagala. And then if you change your mind that you want to use it for hot, you then do hagala. And you could rely on the previous tevila, even though it preceded the Haggadah. Oh, wait. I thought the tevila has to come after the Haggadah. Isn't it Tevel v'sheretz biyado? It's still holding on to the non-kosher. So the Shach adds that if you always intended on using it for hot, since when you were Tevel, you didn't do a bad Teira, you will have to redo the tevila, which is, you know, the whole thing is a little bit strange, because if the problem of Tevel v'sheretz biyado is that a tevila doesn't work when something is holding on to the tumah, when something is still connected to the tumah, the very presence of the blios would stop the tevila from working. I don't care what my plan is. I don't care if those blios are going to come out or not going to come out, whether I plan on using it or not. The presence of the blios would prevent the tevila from being chal. But if you say like the other tzad that a tevila does work, it's just that the tumah will keep coming back. Okay, so that, you know, there are multiple ways to address the tumah of the blios asuros that are in that kli. One is to kasher and the other is to never use it for hot. So either one is going to work. Either one would be fine. But this idea of the Levush is a fascinating idea, that if you did something initially behetera, then it's okay. Then you're allowed to stick with it, even though that you really shouldn't have done it in this order. Meaning, you did a tevila before Haggala, which you're really not supposed to do, right? We're machmir, we try to do the Haggala first. But since at the time that you did that, there was no plan on using it for hot, so that was okay. Now I plan on using it for hot, so since at the time I toveled it, it was okay for me to tovel it, so I'm allowed to still rely on that tevila, even though now it's a glay milsal mafreya that I shouldn't have done it that way. So you have a similar idea in Mesachas Yevamos. You have a living brother marries the sister of the Shomeres Yavam. So there's still a Zika. So Omrim lo hamtein achi yasa chichamaisa, and then you'll be mutter. So Tosfos there says that if you married her beheter before the brother died, even though your wife is achosu kukaso, the heter remains because you married her beheter. So you see that concept that if you do an action beheter, meaning you marry your brother's wife's sister, so it's achos zukukaso, right? Meaning, but your brother was still alive when you married her. Your brother was still, so there was no mitzvah of yibum on your brother's wife yet. So then, since you married her behetir, you're allowed to keep her, right? Meaning, we're not going to say that you have to undo that which you did. The Gemara has a sheet that if you kill an animal before Matan Torah, the meat is mutter afterwards because you did it behetu. Right? The Gemara Chulin has a discussion. Basar Nechira, Kodem Matan Torah. Shechita was only given at Matan Torah. So what did they do with all the meat in the freezer? Right? They did a major shopping at whatever Carving Block or Gourmet Glatter. So they got a freezer full of meat. Right? Sometimes people stock up for my brother lives in San Jose, California. Right? So they don't have kosher meat available all the time. So when it becomes available, they buy a ton and they fill up. They have an extra freezer just to hold meat. So now, before Matan Torah, he did a major shopping on meat. Thing is, all that meat was gotten by someone taking a gun, shooting the animal in the head, and then taking its meat. Right? It wasn't with Shechita. And then God comes and gives us the Torah and says, you got to do Shechita. You know what I'm supposed to do with all this nevela I have in my freezer? Right? So Gemara is a discussion whether that Basur Nechira, Lachar Matan Torah, is mutter or not. So there's a daya that it's mutter. So the idea again, at the time you did it beheter, so mele the heter sticks. Pischi Tshuva quotes a Tehillah Lemoshe who disagrees with the Shach, but the Dagon Rav says all machlok is irrelevant. He says that once it's Eino Ben Yomo, you don't have a problem with Tov L'Sharis B'Yado anyway, since the Blios are Mutter. Okay, but that's when you learn Yerodeh. We could discuss what that means. That if it hadn't been used in the last 24 hours, then the fact that there are Blios in the Kli are irrelevant, because those Blios are Nosin Tam Lefgam, and they're not kosher. Something is only not kosher within the first 24 hours. We kasher anyway, but it doesn't. But Meikra Din, the Blios are technically mutter, meaning almost every shaila in a bidyevit situation is going to be that comes up in the kitchen, save for an onion, is going to be mutter, right? That's what we tell rabbis. I can give you smicha in 1 minute, right? Any shaila in the kitchen is mutter, except for if it involves an onion. That's usually a good klal. Not that we're giving smicha based on that, although sometimes. But that's a good klal. But obviously, Iduch Pirusha Zil Gemara. You know, there's a lot of details that you need to learn to fill in over there. But a Bliya that's Eino Ben Yomo would already not be Tov L'Sharis B'Yado. Anyway, so the method to solve the Tumah of Treif Blios is not solved by Tefillah. So if you hold that the mikvah can work on a Kli that's connected to Tumah, you need to just solve that Tumah separately through Agala. And so back to us now. Three Mahalchim and Rishonim. What happens if you flip the order in your Tovel before the Mila? Again, back to Geirus now. Right, we just made the comparison of Geirus and Tfilas Kalim. It's not us that made the comparison. Yerushalmi made the comparison. The Yerushalmi was explicit about that comparison. But we said that these two Machlokos about Tevila before Mila and about Tevila before Hagala are totally on the same thing. It's totally on that same Chakira. Okay, so now three Mahalchim and Rishonim. What happens if you flip the order and Tovel before the Mila? Ramban, the first day of Ramban? No? Totally fine. It's totally fine. But the Geirus is valid. The Rashba, with the second day in the Ramban, the way the Rashba elaborates, no, it's no good because the Tefillah needs to be the final step because that's the real Geirus, so it needs to be the Makab Patish. The Ritva, no good because Tov V'Sharis B'Yado and the Tefillah is invalid. And we just pointed out that if you're calling it Tov V'Sharis B'Yado and that's invalidating the Tefillah, it must be that you're assuming that a Tefillah doesn't work when something is still attaching itself to Tumah. It's a suffix in Shulchan Aruch. But there is a raya for the Ramban from a Gemara. There's a raya that the Ramban might be right over here. That if you do the Tevila before the Mila, that it's still kosher. Because there's a Gemara in Paraka Arel, not a Geirus Sugya, discusses a Mitzri Sheni and a Mitzri Shlishi. And it talks about when a Mitzri Rishon marries a Mitzris Shnia, right? A first generation Mitzri marries a second generation Mitzris. So Agav, what's the halacha about a Ger Mitzri? You got to wait three generations, Dor Shlishi, right? You got to wait three generations before it can be Lava B'Kal. So he's only allowed to marry a Ger, because Kal Gerim Lo Etri Kal. But he's not allowed to marry a native Jew, right? If he's a Mitzri Ger. So what happens if a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzri Shlishi? A Mitzri Rishon marries a Mitzri Sheni, rather. Is the child considered generation two and therefore no good? Because you go Basar the father? Or is the child considered a generation three because you go basa the mother that she's mitzvah, that she was a mitzvah sheni and therefore he's a mitzvah shlishi and therefore it's mutzah lava b'kal? So the Gemara discusses maybe it relates to ubar yerech imo, the concept of ubar yerech imo, that the baby is like a limb of the mother. And the Gemara says, if you hold Uber Yarechimo, it makes perfect sense that the baby doesn't need his own tevila, right? Because the mother already did a tevila. So it just like branches off into that. When it, I mean, the discussion of mitzvah is not really so relevant, but in that context, it starts talking about Uber Yarechimo, which is very relevant to us. Pregnant woman goes to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, if you hold Uber Yarechimo, it makes perfect sense that the baby doesn't need his own tevila. However, if you hold Uber Lav Yarechimo, why shouldn't the baby need his own tevila? So Gemara says, maybe when the mother goes to the mikveh, the baby's also going under the water. So even though the baby needs an independent tevila, he's getting an independent tevila because he's also jumping in the mikveh. Meaning, if the baby's a limb of the mother, then of course the baby had a tevila. They're just like the mother's pinky and thumb and all of her limbs had a tevila. So this is another limb of her body that had a tevila. You don't say, oh, well, her heart didn't have a tevila because it didn't touch the water. No, that's an internal organ, but it's a limb of her body. It's a neighbor of her body. So it had the tevila. So if Uber Yarechimo, of course the baby had a tevila. But if you hold Uber Lav Yarechimo, that a baby's considered an independent entity, is not considered to be just a limb of the mother. So then the baby should need a tevila. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe, but maybe the baby had a tevila. Meaning, if you have two people that need a tevila, and they both jump in the mikveh at the same time. Tahar, yeah, that works. There's no like one person, you know, limit in the mikveh in terms of its, you know, it may be good public policy, but in terms of its effectiveness, in terms of its ability to work, there's no one person limit in the mikveh. So maybe that's what happens over there. Maybe it's based on the fact that when the mother goes to the mikveh, the baby's also going under the water, so you have a tevila. And Mara says, no, that shouldn't work. I mean, because now we have the real kasha, chatzitza. I mean, if the baby needs his own tevila, he's not just a limb of the mother. If he's a limb of the mother, I don't have any chatzitza problems, because there's no chatzitza when the heart goes in, and when the kidneys, and when the liver, and when everything else, right? They're internal organs. But if the baby's an independent entity, then the mother is this gigantic chatzitza. Don't call her gigantic. The mother is this chatzitza that's all around the body. It turns out pregnant women don't love when you say that. Whoa, you're so big. Right? It turns out that it's not the right thing to say. Especially if you guess wrong and she's not pregnant. Then they really don't like it. There's a guy that my wife still doesn't forget, that when she was pregnant with my oldest son. So my oldest son was a big boy when he was born. He was our biggest baby. He was fed a lot of Häagen-Dazs ice cream in utero. So there's a guy. My wife is a redhead. So there's a guy in my in-laws' shul that said, "Ooh, para aduma." So she has not yet forgiven him. Yeah. I think what he actually said was, "Kanaina para," and she said, "What?" And he said, "Para aduma." So, okay. Anyway, so the Gemara asks, shouldn't it be a chatzitza? Shouldn't the mother be a medium-sized chatzitza all around the baby's body, right? That the baby has no tevila. So the Gemara says, it's a rubo she'eno makbid, which is only chatzitza midrabanan. The rules of chatzitza are that something is only chatzitza midoraisa if it covers the majority of your body and it's something that you want removed from the body. It's something that you're makbid about. Only then is it a chatzitza midoraisa. Meaning, something would only be a chatzitza midoraisa if a woman tries to go to the mikveh in like full scuba gear, or if she like took a mud bath before and then went to the mikveh. But if she just has like some nail polish on her finger or something, that's not a chatzitza midoraisa. Chatzitza midrabanan is if it's either or. Either it's rove, covers the majority of her body, or, no matter how small it is, but it's something you're makbid about. It's something that you would want to remove at some point. So if, let's say, a woman, last case in Shulchan Aruch, a woman is wearing a ring, right? And she takes off her rings sometimes when she needs dough, when she takes a shower, whatever. She'll take off her ring sometimes. So the ring is going to be chatzitza midrabanan, because it's miut, it's on a small portion of her body, but she's makbid, she sometimes takes it off. So that would be chatzitza midrabanan. If it's a miut she'eno makbid, it's on a small part of her body, and she's never makbid, she never minds having it there, she would leave it there forever if she could, then it's not a chatzitza at all, not even midrabanan. That's the rules of chatzitza. That's a Gemara in Maseches Nida, in Maseches Erev, in Maseches Sukkah. I'm sure you, if you haven't come across that Gemara yet, you will soon, because it's all over the place. Right? That's the basic din of chatzitza. So says the Gemara that the mother's not a chatzitza because the baby's not makbid about the mother being there. In fact, the baby prefers the mother being there. Because if the baby were to be left out on his own in the big bad world out there, at the stage of 6 months into the pregnancy, he would die, or very likely die. So he needs the mother. He needs to develop. So it's eino makvid. So it's arubo she'eino makvid, and therefore shouldn't be a chatzitza. But then the Gemara says, no, wait. This isn't arubo. This is kulo. Maybe kulo is a chatzitza, even if it's eino makvid. So maybe that's a chatzitza daraisa, even if it's eino makvid. So the Gemara says, yeah, but hainu rabbi sayu. This is the natural growth of the baby to be surrounded by a mother. Whereas chatzitza is something external, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. We'll get to why this matters in a second. Again, so the poskim discuss whether there's an issue of chatzitza by tefillin shel rosh, because the Gemara discusses a kohen gadol wearing tefillin on the small area of hair between the tzitz and the mitznefes, and the reason the kohen gadol's hat is actually called a mitznefes as opposed to a kohen hedyot's hat, it's called a, you know, mikvaas, is because Tosfos and Sukkah explains, because Kohen Gadol's hat was a bit smaller. Why was Kohen Gadol's hat a bit smaller? Because he also had to fit the tzitz. He had something extra to stick on his head, so he had a little bit of a smaller hat. So as Machlok showed him, why can't he just put his tefillin on top of the mitznefes? So the Rosh says, because chatzitza, it's chatzitza, and it's tefillin. And the Rashba disagrees. Rashba says, I'm not doing chatzitza by tefillin. So the Rashba says, you know why you can't put it on top? Because when you put the tefillin on top of something else, it's likely to slip out of place. And the tefillin has to be located in the right place. So it's not that it's chatzitza issue, it's that it's going to cause the tefillin to slip too easily. So the Rashba asks on himself, well, the Kohen didn't wear tefillin shel yad, because they couldn't put the tefillin shel yad under the sleeve, because the big day kuhuna are not allowed to have a chatzitza. The big day kuhuna have to be al besaro. So he couldn't run his big day kuhuna sleeve over his tefillin, because not because of a chatzitza for the tefillin, but because of a chatzitza for the big day kuhuna. That the tefillin are the chatzitza for the big day kuhuna, right? That's the halacha. So says Rashba, I have an idea. If there's no issue of chatzitza by tefillin, no, what should the etza be? Put the tefillin over the big day kuhuna. Right? The big dekuna will be al besaro. Tefillin have no issue of chatzitza. The whole concern is that it might slip out of place. Tefillin shel yad doesn't slip out of place easily because you're wrapping it, wrapping it around. Right? So just do like that. So the Rashba says, enochinami, it's not a problem with chatzitza, but tefillin shel yad have to be covered. Tefillin shel yad have to be covered, right? Why do they have those covers on the tefillin shel yad, not on the tefillin shel rosh? Because tefillin shel yad have to be covered. Why? Because the pasuk says l'chali os, lo lacherim laos. We darshan l'chali laos, that it's got to be something personal to you and not advertised to the public. So tefillin shel yad have to be covered. There is a possibility that when you say the bracha, they're not supposed to be covered. That's why some people are makbid to remove the plastic cover when they say the bracha. That's why they started making those. You ever see those tiny covers, the rubber pieces that. Yeah, so that's so that the majority of it will be uncovered at the time of the bracha, and then you'll cover it afterwards. It's a different discussion. But so 1 second. So the Magen Avraham says, wait a second. Okay, the Rashba is telling me that the reason you can't put the tefillin over the big day kuhuna is because because l'chali os. Says Magen Avraham, I got an idea. Put your big day kuhuna on. Put the tefillin over the big day kuhuna, right? L'chali os. Buy one of those sleeves, right, like the basketball players wear, right, and stick it over your tefillin, right. Get Carmelo Anthony, he's that orange one, right. So put it over, and you'll, and that's it. And then you'll have l'chalios. You won't have a chatzitza in your big day kuhuna. Tefillin don't have a problem with chatzitza. Now that's not an eitza. So why is that not an eitza? So, because there's a separate issur for a kohen. He's not allowed to be meruba begadim. He's not allowed to just put on extra layers of clothing. He has to only wear the big day kuhuna. So you have no choice but to just not wear tefillin. So the Magen Avraham says that if you have a cast, you could put tefillin over the cast and then a sleeve over the tefillin, because there's no way to remove a begadim for a regular person. Right? Meaning, let's say just a regular person nowadays, 2022, you have a cast. So put the tefillin on over your cast, because there's no problem with chatzitza for tefillin according to the Rashba. I l'chala os, okay, then put a sleeve over that. So according to the Rashba, it's not going to help because it's chatzitza. And Mishabru, passing out at Suffolk, it's a sveka dedina. So for the Rosh, well, that it's chatzitza, it's an issue by tefillin, and the Rosh says, you know, the only reason you're still allowed to have hair, because I'm mentioning all this, the Rosh says, why are you allowed to have hair? Isn't it chatzitza? Shouldn't we all shave our heads like the Hasidim do? Right? So he says, no, you're allowed to have hair, and it's not a chatzitza, because Hainu Rabbi Sayin. Chatzitza means something external. According to the Rush, that there is a problem of chatzitza by tefillin, which, by the way, is a major issue for people with toupees and things like that. Right? According to the Rush, that there is a problem of chatzitza by tefillin. So how is a person allowed to have hair? Hainu Rabbi Sayin. It's not external, it's part of you. It's part of your body, it's natural growth. Which, by the way, if a person has long hair, it's not a chatzitza, technically, but the Rashba's concern that it will slip out of place does become a concern if the hair is too, you know, movable. Also, Hainu Rabbi Sayu only applies if it's in its natural way of growth. But if, let's say, a person has long hair and then, you know, it's getting in his face, so he puts it back like that, right, and he puts his tefillin on over it like that, that's a chatzitza, right? If you hold like the Rush, that there's a problem with chatzitza by tefillin, that's a chatzitza. Because it's not in its natural place. You can't say Hainu Rabbi Sayu by such a thing. So anyway, back to us. Everybody holds b'na ein sarach tefillah. The question is whether it's based on uber yarechimo, right? Meaning everyone holds, the pregnant woman goes to the mikvah, the child does not need tefillah. The question is, why does the child not need tefillah? Is it because uber yarechimo, and the child is like the heart, or the kidneys, or the liver, or whatever, or the small intestines, it's just another internal organ? Or uber lav yarechimo, but hainu rabbi sayhu, that the baby needs his own tefillah, and he's getting his own tefillah, and the mother's not a chatzitza, because the mother's not external. The mother's the natural way of a baby is supposed to grow. So says the Ramban, back to our Ramban, you see from this Gemara that tefillah could happen before Mila. How do you see tefillah could happen before Mila? The tefillah works. Baby didn't have Mila yet. Right? The tefillah works. So you see tefillah could happen before Mila. You know, so the Rashi explains what he meant is that if you hold Uber Yerech Imo, the baby becomes fully Jewish at Tevila, the Mila he has after his Mila Israel, that's irrelevant. But if you hold Uber Lav Yerech Imo, the Ramban's Raya is from Uber Lav Yerech Imo. If you hold Uber Lav Yerech Imo, you're holding that the baby is independent, he needs his own Gerus, which means he needs his own Tevila, which means he needs his own Mila afterwards, and that Mila he's going to get afterwards, not a Mila Israel, it's a Mila Gerus that he's going to get afterwards. Right? It's going to be a real Mila of Gerus. So you see that Mila can be after the tefillah. You can do tefillah and then Mila. Ooh. So is it a good raya?
Is the fear of Mila only taken into effect when he's born?
Ah, so how you can do Mila on a baby in utero, right? So the Ra'a says, I don't know how to see what the raya is over here. The uber that's inside the mother isn't eligible for Mila. You know, it was before the days where they could do heart surgery on a fetus, right? Meaning, this is that they couldn't do a Mila on a fetus. Maybe now they can with lasers or whatever. Okay, that's a whole separate discussion whether you'd be Yotzi Mila that way. But they couldn't do Mila on a fetus. So since it's impossible to do Mila on him, it's like a Nekeva, right? Meaning, and a Nekeva gets Gerus by Tevila. Similar to what Tosel said, no, similar to Nechras Hagid. Right? And if a man doesn't have the equipment, so Tosfos says he could be Megayer with Tevila alone. So the Ra'a says the baby is Megayer but Tevila Luchud. The Tevila is the Giyur for the baby. The Gerus works like a Gerus Isha. So when he's born, the Mila that we do, according to the Ra'a, is a Milas Yisrael. It's not a Milas Gerus, right? It's a Milas Yisrael. Nafkamina for the bracha. So to Milas Yisrael. Nafkamina is if it's Docha Shabbos. Right? If it's on the eighth day. If it's Docha Shabbos. Nafkamina is the kid Jewish. In the meantime. Right? If he's a very precocious child, in the first week of life, he's pouring everyone's wine. Right? So, is he Jewish? So these two days, whether you can switch the order, really touch upon the major sugya of a pregnant woman being the Megayer and the status of the child. So, which we discussed a little bit, right? When did we discuss that? We discussed it at some point. So the Gedolei Achronim bring a raya against the Ramban and seem to assume that the baby is born Jewish. The Gemara in Bechorah says that a baby is chayav b'pidyon haben if harasu shelo b'kedusha v'leidasu b'kedusha. Meaning if the mother converted while pregnant, then there is a chiyuv pidyon haben. Now, if there's a chiyuv pidyon haben, that's an indication that the baby's Jewish, right? Meaning the Ramban understood that from the Gemara about the pregnant mother having tevila that's just one step of the gerus, and the mila is going to be another step of the gerus. So the baby's not Jewish yet. So the Achronim point out, Ramban, you're incorrect, because a baby that has whose mother went to the mikvah while she was pregnant with him is chayim pidin aben. If he's chayim pidin aben, it means he's not a ger. It means that he was born to a Jewish mother and he's therefore a Jew. Another raya against Ramban is Gemara Nivam Saditas, that if she has twins, they're considered to be ach mina aim v'lo mina av. They're considered to be brothers from the mother. But if the gerus wasn't complete yet until after they were born, then they shouldn't be brothers from the mother. Right? They're not brothers from the father because at the time of conception, which is when the father's contribution was made, they weren't Jewish. Nobody was Jewish. But the Gemara says in Yivam Saditas, they are brothers from the mother. But if they're not really Jewish yet and they need to go through a mila in order to become Jewish, they're not brothers from the mother. So those are the two questions that the Achronim ask on the Ramban. So I'll leave you with this. Rav Naftali Trapp develops the following yisod. Rav Naftali Trapp was a Rashiv in Radin. He was Do you ever use Rav Natali's Chidushim? Chidushia Granat, Avashas? They're popular in yeshivas. Rav Mendel Blachman did not like them, but they're very popular in yeshivas. Rav Blachman, you saw yourself the story that Rav Naftali was walking through the Beis Medrash and he saw one of the Talmidim's notebooks and he was reading what the Talmud's notebook said from his own shir. And he's like, I never said any of this stuff. He's like, in those that Rabbi Nachman said, in those notebooks, that's Chidush HaGranat. Okay, so like any other Achron, if it makes sense, it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense. So I don't care whether it's from Naftali or his Talmud or whatever, whoever dreamt it up. If it makes sense, it's good. If it doesn't make sense, it's not good. No. So Naftali develops his Yisod. He says, Gemara is difficult when it says, Mu'berish Niskayer B'na Ein Tzarech Tevila. That if a Mu'beris is Niskayer, a pregnant woman is Niskayer, that the child doesn't need Tevila. Why does the kid need a gear at all? He's born to a Jewish mother. Shouldn't it be obvious that he's Jewish? I mean, what's the whole discussion over here? When he's born to a Jewish mother. So shouldn't that be everything? Everybody born to a Jewish mother is Jewish. So I'm telling you, you would think he'd say, no, but maybe conception, maybe the time of conception defines the Jewishness. No, that's not what he says. He says he's part of Klal Yisrael, but he lacks Kedushas Yisrael because of the conception where Shalom Kedusha. So you have to be mashlim the Kedusha through a regular Gerus protocol. Meaning, he's kind of Jewish. He's kind of Jewish. We never want to have someone kind of Jewish. So the way to make him fully Jewish is by going through a Gerus protocol. What makes him kind of Jewish? He was born to a Jewish mother. Why is his Kedusha not complete? Why is his Kedusha missing something? Because he was conceived at a time when his mother was not Jewish. So he's Jewish, but he's missing a little Kedusha Yisrael. So he's chayv b'pidin ben, and he's related to his twin brother. Why? Because he's Jewish. But we do a gerus in order to enhance his status of Kedushas Yisrael. And maybe, says Rav Naftali, there's a mitzvah gerus and there's a chalos gerus. He doesn't need a chalos gerus because he's chayv in the mitzvah, because he's already Jewish. But he's chayv in the mitzvah gerus because there's still, it's, as they say in yeshivas, it's felt in Kedushas Yisrael. Right, it's missing a little bit from the Kedushas Yisrael. And that's what the Ramban meant, says Rav Naftali. Not super clear what any of that means. Right? Meaning he's making his own category. Like, what is this? Is this a Jew? Is this not a Jew? So, okay, not everyone loves this Rav Naftali, but that's what Rav Naftali says. So anyway, so Bezram, tomorrow we'll get into being Megayer for ulterior motives, which is very, very Nogei Lemaisra, which we've been touching on yesterday. Then the next day we'll try to do Ger Katan in a day, which is like, you know, building Rome in it. Is that the thing? Whatever. It's not so not so posh. We'll try to at least touch on the Rashi Pratim of Ger Katan. Okay, I did want to take like.